Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. It's 9 minutes past the hour this Wednesday morning. It's turning out to be a wet day today. I'm Sharif Quadri. If you're just stepping out of the house, please prepare for the weather. It's most likely going to be a wet day today. And if your area is always flooded, you know what to do. Disregard any threats. Just be on the lookout for how you can protect yourselves and your loved ones, okay? Now, let's talk female leadership in politics. Today, let's discuss it. Nigeria has been recording low participation in women in both elective and appointed positions. I mean, even if you cannot elect, at least maybe you shall appoint women. But still, women are not being appointed. Now, this is a growing concern to many Nigerians, particularly to those who feel that there's a lot of untapped resources with that gender. As of February 2021, women serve as elected heads of state or government in just 21 countries. So we can safely say that it is not a Nigerian thing. And in these 21 countries, Nigeria is not among them. According to Council for Foreign Relations, data as of August 3 this year, countries with list of current female heads of state or government, in their data, they include Bangladesh, Barbados, Denmark, Estonia. A woman is a president there in Estonia, Ethiopia, Finland, Gabon, Georgia, Germany, Greece, Iceland, Lithuania, Moldova, Nepal, New Zealand. A woman is prime minister there in New Zealand. Norway, Singapore, Slovakia, Tanzania, Togo, Trinidad and Tobago. These are the countries list of current female heads of state or government. Now, according to UNWomen.org, facts and figures about women's leadership and political participation data, they have this as of 1st of September. At the current rate, according to UNWomen.org, at the current rate, gender equality in the highest positions of power will not be reached for another, wait for it, 130 years. How does that make you feel? Yeah, I have my perfect guest in the show on the show this morning. Tari Taylor is here. She joins us. She's a politician, by the way. Tari, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
How does that make you feel that we cannot have gender equality in position of power in the world in another 130 years?
Well, I wouldn't say I completely agree with that projection.
Okay.
I think things are already happening. A lot of things are shifting. There are women in some important and strategic positions. Mm. And the growth will happen much faster than that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You're a councillor.
I am not yet. I'm still a candidate. We are the election tribunal.
That tribunal,
yes,
currently right now.
I contested at the July 24th local government elections, and then now we're...
Tell me about your experience first. From that, your experience will extrapolate to, you know, our main conversation. What was it like as a woman trying to vie for public office?
Well, it was an incredible journey. Yeah. Like, I mean, over the period of times that I was campaigning, I went into all the different communities. I campaigned in Etiosa local government, Ward A, which is from Lekki Phase 1 to Femi Okunu. So I went to all the communities around there. I was very well received, I have to say that.
Okay.
I cannot say that I faced any particular limitation,
okay,
you know, being a woman and going out there. I was well received. I met traditional rulers. I met, you know, market women, bus drivers, you know, Okada, everybody across the board. And there was never, well, not to my face, you know, any direct, you know, form of resistance or objection that was put before me, you know. So, and, you know, for me...
But correct me if I'm wrong. Before then, you had always been part of your community.
I had always been part of my community, but If you understand that area, you'll know that it's quite diverse.
Exactly.
There's Lekki Phase 1.
Exactly.
There is Itedo, Ikate, Igbokosu, which are smaller, more rural,
very rural
communities.
Yeah, grassroots.
Yeah. Yes. So I was active. I have been active in Lekki Phase 1.
Okay.
I'm part of the Environment Committee for LERA, which is Lekki Estate Residents Association.
Right.
And I'm also the secretary of my subzone.
Okay.
So I have been working, doing some form of representation, but within the Lekki
Phase 1 access.
Lekki Phase 1 space.
Okay.
But I wanted to expand, you know.
Okay.
When you look at the ward, it's from that whole area. It's there are many different people, you know, there that I was happy to reach out to and all. And across board, even in Lekki Phase 1, I had no resistance whatsoever.
Would you say that after the election, would you beat your chest and say people voted for you? I mean, that's why you are the tribunal, by the way.
Yes.
Why would you say so? Could it have been because you were well received when you were campaigning, or you have metrics?
Well, I think that people have been awakened, and my campaign really helped in that, because typically in that area the participation is very low. Many people would never have known that there was a local government election happening.
Yeah.
So because I am from that community and I stepped out and said, a lot of them didn't even know what the role of a councillor was. So I had to spend a lot of time educating people and saying, this is what happens. This is the function of a councillor. This is what you're supposed to expect from your local government and all that. So there was kind of like an awakening. Now, for the first time, even though voter apathy was still quite high,
right,
but, you know, Lekki came out, you know, and people participated in the process.
Yeah.
And I think people are just tired. You know, there is such a void in governance, especially, you know, at the local level. I mean, as part of the committees that I am part of, and as a secretary of my subzone, sometimes it's almost as if we are the government in that space. I go to Alausa on behalf of my, you know, residents sometimes, along with my fellow, you know, colleagues that work with me. This morning, I have managed, you know, stuff that is going
some
on, work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
So where is our government? You know, why are we the ones who, as volunteers, you know, doing all of this work?
Yeah.
So there's a void. And for a long time, we have missed it as to how the local government should be affecting our lives. We're all looking towards Alausa and Aso Rock, but come on, right here at our doorstep, you know, there are services that need to be rendered to us.
Do you think that there is some form of, I don't know, maybe not strong opposition, but maybe passive opposition towards female leadership?
I haven't experienced it.
Okay.
I think, you know, I think people just want change in whatever package.
They don't care the gender.
No, I don't think so. Because for me, I went out with a clear value proposition.
Okay.
I knew what I wanted to do for my constituents, and I communicated that to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were not looking at, you know, yes, some of them will look at me and smile and say, you want to be counselor, you know? And I'm like, yes, I want to be your counselor, you know? But it would be amusing, it would be jokes, you know, kind of thing. Nobody ever kind of like, you know, seriously objected to that, because they want solutions. So anybody who is bringing well-articulated solutions and can demonstrate that they can, you know, implement those solutions for the betterment of their own lives, I don't think there's really a resistance.
Why then do we have today very poor record of women participating in our politics?
I think it's
as an actively participating, not a Yaloja kind of participation, not women
leader.
Well,
that's a very important participation.
I'm not saying that it's not important. I'm saying at the topmost part
I
of governance,
right?
Yeah. So why do we choose to give women the role of women leader, women these, Agbateru, Ginikon, something, all of those things?
You said something, Sherif, and you know, I hear it all the time, and I don't like it. Choose to give women? Why give women? Why do we allow? People say, but they won't allow us.
Yeah,
you know, nobody is going to give it to you. Nobody's going to allow you. You have to step out.
You have to take it.
And take it. You have to declare what it is that you want to do. And people will listen to you. For me, from the moment I said yes to the opportunity to, you know, to come run. My goodness, the amount of support, it's like everything just opened up from that point. So women have to step out. And I think
is that the problem?
Women are not stepping out. I've had the opportunity to do a lot of it since I've been on this journey, a lot of interactions with even women's political groups who, and this same question keeps coming up. And one consistent, you know, answer that has been thrown up across board: women are not stepping out. I think because of these myths, I will call them myths that we're discussing.
I just want to chip this in that I'm going to go to women's line only.
Okay.
And we will talk to women.
Yes.
And they will buttress what you're saying or disagree with you. So go on.
Okay. I think women are not stepping out because they have believed these myths. They have believed that they will not be well received. They have believed that there will be so many objections on their path. They have believed that, oh, politics is so violent, it's not a place for women. They've believed that their reputations would be dragged in the mud.
Are those false beliefs?
They are not.
Though?
They are valid because it does happen. I have heard experiences and all that. But you see, in everything, there is a risk. In everything, there's a downside.
I agree with you. Hands down, I agree with you. There are risks to those things. But do you think that in a society such as ours, are those risks you think that our women can
navigate?
Not necessarily. Because where I'm going is, from the things that you have mentioned, some risks just stay with you forever.
Yeah, but it depends on how you manage it. Okay. It depends on, I mean, if those are the risks, you identify them, then you work on how you want to position yourself. Then you know there are certain areas you will not go. Then you will know how you want to walk.
What if you have to do those things?
Manage it. There's no situation that cannot be managed.
Have you ever been put in such a situation since you started this journey?
Give me an example.
Like a situation where you have to compromise your own beliefs, your own ethics, your own values just to play this politics.
No, not at all. I think I've pretty much done this on my own terms. You know, and it's been fantastic. I have had a lot of support. And when I say support, not just even people supporting me with their money financially, people have supported me with advice, direction, people who have been in this process before, men and women, people, you know, who know so much more than I ever will. I've been given counsel. So in a way, I have been spared a lot of mistakes and things like that because I have listened to people, you know, who have been generous enough to guide me and all of that, you know. And I mean, throughout my career, by God's grace, I hope I will continue to be able to, you know, be led and be receive good counsel.
I'm glad you mentioned the mistakes because it's part of the things that Zainab put here. Zainab, how are you? Thank you for this prep. It looks as though that we've had females before, women in high positions before. But it seems as though as we are we come too hard on mistakes that women, you know, make than the way we approach mistakes that men.
Isn't that general in life, not just politics? Don't you think so?
I don't know really, but why should that be?
It's just the world we live in. It's the world we live in, you know. Expectations are always higher from you as a woman. You know, expectations for everything. You are expected to carry yourself in a certain way. You are expected to your character, your personality, the way you respond to situations is always expected to be different. There's a higher demand always placed on you as a woman. And I think it's also a blessing because it causes us to aspire to be more and be better, you know. So to me, it's a plus as far as I'm concerned.
So it makes it harder. You could call it a blessing, but it makes everything harder for the women talk.
But maybe it also makes us more capable.
Is that how you see it now?
I think so. If something stretches you and pushes you beyond your boundaries, then it will refine you in many ways and make you very capable.
My question would be, why should you have to be put through that?
I don't know.
Where is the balance? Where is the fairness?
Sheriff, I didn't make the rules. I don't know.
You know what?
But you see, I like that you as a man, you have observed and realized this. What are you going to do about it?
We're talking about
it. No, don't talk. We're talking.
We're having that conversation
right now.
What are
you? Tell me. So you tell me, in your sphere of influence,
yeah,
what are you going to do about that? The fact that women always have to work harder for us to.
I'm very thank you for throwing the questions back. At me. I think it boils down to education.
Mm.
We need to begin to unlearn some practices, some cultural practices, some traditional practices, some beliefs, and begin to raise our children different. And begin to teach our boys, our girls, that look, this life is about balance, it's about fairness. Yes. Nobody is your slave. We need to... there's been a lot of miseducation, Terry, that we have to try and correct.
Yes.
In our society, most especially. In other climes, they don't see all these things. Mm-hmm. They don't value these fault lines. They're not even supposed to be fault lines. They're not supposed to be weaknesses. They're supposed to be strength.
Yes.
But we don't see that here. And it has a lot to do with how most of us are brought up. Mm-hmm. Even till today, people will still say, you know what? Let's go to the telephone and hear a few calls. We're just going to, do some random sampling of people's thoughts and opinion on our conversation this morning. 0700-993-993-993. Female-only line is 01465-7190. That is for female-only. And please, if you're calling us, you have to be very brief and straight to the point. I think we should go to break. Let's not screen any call for now. Let's go to break. When we return from this break, so we can calm down and talk to people. Stay with us, Lagos. We'll be right back. Through the break. 8:34 is time, going on 8:35. Yeah, it's 8:35 right now. So we're going to start this round. Tari, thank you again for dropping by this morning. It's been an amazing conversation this morning with you. Let's take some reactions. Let's take people's thoughts on our conversation this morning. And I would even want more women to call us and share their thoughts. Mm-hmm. If we have anyone with thought as regards what we're talking about, basically. We would love to hear. And for men as well, it's very, very important that we have your thoughts as well on your perception about, women going into politics and why we don't have more women in top political positions in Nigeria. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. The second line is female only. So please, females, you can call that line. And please, when you call, God, I beg you, go straight to the point so we can get as many thoughts as possible. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. All my lights are blinking. Just give me some time. We're processing our first call right now. Once we're done with that, we'll go to the next. And please, Colette, make the screening quite fast and straight to the point. Let me speak with my first call. Umi is her name, I think. Or UM, I'm not sure. Bumi, okay. Bumi, hi. Morning to you. Bumi, are you with me?
Hello.
Good morning to you, Bumi.
Good morning, Sheriff. Mm. Good morning, Tyree.
Good morning.
My name is Bumi.
Hello, Bumi. Good morning.
You know, in Nigeria, as a woman, you are like an endangered species. Mm. You can't do this, you can't do that. It's a man's world. Politics is murky waters for me. I love to be in politics, but, there's so many things that I just run away from. Mm. It's just very sad, because I think if women were more in politics, a lot of things would not be the way it is right now.
Mm.
You understand, but it's a man's world, as they say. We have to fight to get where we want to be.
We have to fight and struggle for almost everything.
Yes, you understand. And it doesn't even help matters that women are we are our own enemies.
That part.
Tari will talk about part of it. We are our own enemies. Even the workplace, women victimize the other woman. It's a sad potpourri of rubbish. I'm sorry to use that language, but it's just, we need to be our friends first.
Bumi, thank you for calling me. I'm going to speak to Shade. Shade's in Ikeja. Hi, Shade. Morning to you.
Morning. How are you doing?
Very well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, so I do agree with Terry. I'm trying to get the name right. We are guests.
Oh, Terry. Okay.
What she said about women are stepping out. Because sometimes I think about it like, so that goes to politics. And I'm like, better behind the scenes person than, being the face of, let's make a change. But I do like more women should step out. And I do, the fact is there are a lot of, myths or stuff, how can a woman stay out late?
Yeah.
What are the children? Who is the children they bring up? How about the husband? Can you call? And I'm like, really? I think that really discourages a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think, the more we have this conversation, the more I feel like they should step up and know that they can do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Shadi, for the call. I'm going to speak with Chris right now. Chris in VI. Hi, Chris. Morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please.
Honorable, good morning, ma.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning.
Thank you very much. I followed you with
Chris. Please go straight. Thank you. Go straight to the point.
Okay,
thank you.
Good. Yeah. For Nigeria specifically, politics is dirty and deadly. So I don't blame those women who is staying away from politics. So I want to thank the honourable there. People in that is her consequences. Consequences should stand their faith, because the tribunal, the governor, have something to do about the people who handle the cases, right? So let it face one people. Stand your faith.
Thank you, Chris, for calling. Appreciate it. I sincerely do appreciate it. But please go straight to the point. Don't canvass for anything. I just want to hear your thought about our conversation. All right. Good morning to you.
Morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you.
Yeah. Good morning to you, the lady in the studio.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you. God bless you. Amen. I just want to urge you, please, continue fighting. Because we need more women in positions of authority.
Why do you think we don't have more women?
I think we need more women.
Oh, no, I'm asking, why do you think we don't have more of them?
Because some of them are shining away.
They're shining away.
Number two, a married man, the man may not allow him to attend political meeting. And money to spend. You know, Nigeria police are today, they spend a lot of money. And that money, the woman, they may not have it. That must stand there. This is Prince Wise calling from Amuwado.
Thank you, Prince Wise. Thank you. Johnson is joining us. Johnson, hi. Morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning to you, Johnson.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, Johnson.
Okay. About the kidnapping law.
No, that's not what we're talking about, Johnson. Well, thanks for trying. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Yeah, Liz.
Good morning to you, ma.
Good morning.
Yes, ma.
I was once, I'm a politician.
You are a politician?
Of course, Madam Ife is a politician.
Okay.
It's not easy for women, you understand? When I was, seriously involved in my local government, I know between 2013 to 15, it was time-consuming, no rest. So I just opted out. Not easy for women.
What else, apart from the time and everything, what else do you think is discouraging women?
Again, a lot of men, they look a woman in the in political sphere with one kind of eye. I don't want to say the word.
Yeah, I think,
They look at you one kind. But if you go there, if you know what you want to do. I played politics here for some time.
Okay.
I didn't give any man chance to talk to me. I don't take it. You should be fair.
Do you think that's why you didn't last?
I left it, but they still call me, but I don't want to go. Okay. I don't even have the strength any longer. I'm getting, aging. I can't do it again. Sorry about that.
Don't apologize. don't apologize. Thank you so much for calling. We're going to take Adebola's call, then I'll come to you, Tari, to respond to all of this. Adebola, morning to you.
Yes, good morning,
Sherry. Good morning to you.
All right. I'd like to contribute to the topic as regards to why women are few in politics.
Yes, please.
Okay, now, when I was in corporate world and we were sent to the training school, I noticed the best of us in class, in fact, the best student was a female. Now, in my office, I've left the corporate world now. In my office, when you look at the managing positions, you see about 8 men and then you see about 3 women. I think the reason is because they don't have supportive husbands. And what happens is that they tell you, no, you have to, hold the home front. You know, you can't close this time. So you see, in fact, in the training academy I am presently, the best of us, the 3 best in class, I'm one of them, we are females. But the thing is that they do better than the men, but because of the responsibility of taking care of the home front, and then in a case where you don't have a husband that is supportive, they just leave politics aside. Politics aside. Yes, you have the best brain, the best of brains in my class. The top 3 are females. But because, if you want to go further or you want to vie for a particular position, if you have a spouse, that is not supportive, it's going to be very difficult. So they just leave it aside and then do other things.
Right.
So I think one of the major reasons is not having a supportive spouse. They will complain, why are you just closing this time? No, don't do this. So you just say, let me just leave it and then face the home front. So spouse, having a supportive
spouse. Or support, right.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Thank you, Adebola, for sharing your thought. We're going to start from there, Tari. Spousal support, major contributing factor?
Yes. You cannot, I mean, you cannot do it without a supportive spouse, whether you are a male or you are a female, because, you know, there's some level of understanding that needs to be extended your way. And, you know, personally for me, it's been an adjustment for us. You know, I never saw myself really running. I was doing everything I was doing, but as a volunteer, you know, at my own time. But,
share your experience with me. Not exactly with the rest of the world. was it like with your husband?
With my husband, it has been an adjustment for him. Yeah. I have to give him that. You know, for me, just coming out and saying I'm going to walk on this path, and you know, all of a sudden everything changes, and you are thrust to the forefront. We live our very private lives, and all of a sudden my face is everywhere. So I mean, he has had to, you know, navigate this path, and you know, we are pushing through. You know, we're pushing through. But I know I cannot do it without him. You know, whatever other further aspirations I even have, it's not going to be possible without him solidly, you know, in my corner and pushing me. So
do you think it would be the same if it were the other way around? He would have said, I can't do it with my wife.
Yes, absolutely. If he was running for office, I would be his number one, and he would expect me to be his number one ally, and I will be.
Of course, you're not saying that you're a bad person.
Because that's just what has to happen. You know, it's a journey. Marriage is a journey that you make together.
Yeah.
So if you take on this kind of venture, this kind of, you know, path, you're not going to be able to do it without, even not just, you know, the spouse, but the whole family. We need everybody. We need everyone to be on board.
Let's try and expand that scenario now. Do you think it's the same for most families? Like the husband, if the wife were to come out, the husband would support the wife. If the strength it would take for the husband to support the wife is much about the same that would take the wife to support the husband.
No, I think it's harder for men. I think it's much more difficult for men. But a willing man, a loving man, he would adjust. He would, you know, it may not be instantaneous, but it's a process. He would adjust as he goes along.
A caller mentioned cost, some of the reasons why women are not much into politics is the cost is pretty much expensive.
Yes, it is expensive.
Is that a factor? So, I mean, the cost affects everybody, both men and women. Mm-hmm, so why should that be exceptional for women?
Mm-mm.
Is it exceptional for women?
Maybe, I think maybe what she would have been alluding to is the fact that maybe women are not able to raise much more money. I mean, yes, there's some level of your personal funds you will spend,
right.
But for you to be, I think a successful, you know, politician should be able to raise the funds that you need. And people who support you, they don't just support you with their mouth, they support you with their money. You can't do it on your own.
Indeed. Then someone said that the acceptance is faulty here, that females themselves, they pull down other female politicians. How true is that?
Well, in my experience, it has been the other way around, because the female politicians that I have met literally pulled me up.
Wow.
Yes, they pulled me up. And these are ladies who I didn't even know before my campaign. They were strangers to me.
Yeah.
But they heard about me, or I met them, and they said, you know what, we're taking it upon ourselves to make sure that, you know, a lot of the doors that have been opened, you know, for me were female, you know, who have gone through this process. I have there's a particular lady, you know, she had run before, you know, for the House. She didn't win.
Okay.
But she's very experienced in that space. She really helped me. She really guided me and stood for me. So of course, you know, there are people who would not support you.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Men or women. There are people who would just think, you know, what's this person, you know, up about? But for those who want to, you know, and whose hearts who have conviction about what you are standing for, they would back you up. I have had tremendous support from women across board, women in politics, women in private sector, women in entertainment and media. I have had great support from women.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
And even just family women, housewives, people who are just concerned about the state of our, you know, communities. And then they see me coming forth with solutions. I have had support from that demographic as well.
Do you think it's important that political parties make deliberate efforts, reserve some slots for their female candidates? Do you think I mean, in order to encourage female participation in politics.
So sort of like affirmative action.
Yes, sort of.
Absolutely. And I think that's happening, but they need to be more deliberate about it. They need to be more, you know, much more intentional in creating that space. And I also like, you know, for example, you know, I've had this conversation recently.
Yeah.
As much as I would advocate for a lot more females stepping out, you know, I wouldn't just vote for someone because she's a woman. If two people or three people step out for a position, I want the most competent person, the person that I have the conviction is going to do the job and do it well. So if that person is not a woman, I'm sorry, if that person is a man, I will vote for a
man. Which is the right thing to do.
To me, it's not a pity party that, oh, come, just vote for me just because I'm a woman. No. Mm. What are you offering? What is your value proposition? How are you going to make the lives of the people in your constituency better? Tell me, and if you can convince me about that, then you will have my vote, not just because of your gender.
Right. Is that what you think? It's happening.
No, I have been in forums where, you know, women are saying, let's just vote for each other because we are women, and I have raised this, you know, this objection to that no, this is a, like, politics, like everything else, politics should not be patronage.
I agree.
You know, put the best forward and you will get the best support.
Terry, brilliant. 8:49, let's take another call. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning, Joy.
Welcome, Joy.
I'm calling from Ikeja.
Welcome.
Yeah, the question I would like to ask the resource person there.
Yes, please.
So I would like to know, would she have been able to do this on her own if her spouse was not supportive?
Okay.
And again, there's this notion we have here in this part of the world that if you are single, because sometimes single women tend to pursue more of their career than most of the women who are married. Now, because most of our spouses will not even support us with what some of the things we want to do. And so because of that, it pulls us down. I see family members will tell you, please, it's okay, just trust yourself. You have children, you have this, you have to maintain your home and all this and all that.
Right.
So now, these are the things that are pulling us down here. Now, and if you say you want to be a single woman, like you want to pursue your career, even when you go to some places, they will shout down at you, like,
Chai.
Do you know what she has done? Do you know where she has gone to for her to be in this, you know, in this level? We don't have lots of Okonjo-Iweala's here in Nigeria yet. And again, in Burundi, there's something they did in their House of Assembly that made it easier for their women
to
be more in the House of Assembly over there than what we have here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they can also do that here for us. If they do that here for us, I tell you, most of our women will also come out and be in the political sphere.
Brilliant, Joy. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Terry, she asked whether you've been able to do what you've achieved without your husband's support.
No, absolutely not. I have been able to, you know, I think in a short time in my political career, come this far, because I think he has extended some level of understanding and, you know, I don't know, enabling environment for me to. Don't get it twisted. Yeah. He has his reservations.
Right.
Absolutely, he does.
Right.
But, you know, he has seen my resolve. And he sees my passion and the desire I have to really make that change. So I guess to the level he's able to, you know, he supports me to go forward.
Terry, we cannot conclude on this conversation, but we have to leave it here for this morning. It's been an amazing, amazing conversation with you. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Terry is also the creator of La Gosa, by the way. If you know La Gosa radio drama, this is the brain behind it. Thank you for the good job that you
did.
Thank you,
and it's coming up again.
Yes, it's back again. When is
on the 27th?
27th.
Next Tuesday, I think. All right. Or Monday. That's
fantastic. Fantastic, Terry. Thank you again for coming.
Thank you.
Lagos, that's our show today. I'm Sherif Quadri. Sherif Quadri across all social media platforms. Terry, how can people reach out to you if they want to reach out?
So I'm Terry _Taylor on Instagram and LinkedIn, Facebook, Terry Taylor across board.
Fantastic.
Yes. Taylor is TAYLAUR. So TAYLAUR. So Tari is TARI and Taylor.
All right. That's our show. We're done. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
This is an infomercial. Hey guys, I have some
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.